Test 1, 2, test. Test, test.
Test 1, 2, test 1, 2, 1, 2, 3, test 1, 2.
Start the meeting here on the Legacy Budget Stabilization Fund Advisory Board. We'll have the call to order. We'll have the roll call.
Representatives Kempinick.
Here.
Wright.
Here.
Senators Klein.
Here.
Dotsenrod.
Here.
Citizen members, Mr. Hardmeyer, Mr. Rauschenberger.
Here.
Ms. Sharp.
Here.
Mr. Chairman, we have a quorum.
Okay. I guess consideration of the minutes of.
Moved and approved.
Okay, and moved and approved.
We are going to. Is there a second?
Okay, it was Vic, and yeah, we need a roll call vote on those.
Voice vote.
Voice vote, okay, voice vote on that. All approved? Aye.
Aye.
Yeah, you've already voted once already. It's approved. Okay, now we get to the consideration of selection of the board chairman and the vice chairman, and that's the committee needs to make that decision and stuff on it.
Mr. Chairman,
I'll open any nominations.
I'll nominate Keith Kemenich for chairman of the Budget and Legacy Committee.
Is there a second? It's moved by Representative Christ, second by Senator Dotsenrod. Any other nominations? Any other nominations? Any other nominations?
Mr. Chairman, I move that nomination cease and we cast the unanimous ballot for Chairman Kempinich.
Second.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded for a unanimous ballot. All approve or yay?
Yes.
What?
I just waiting for you to.
You're voting against him?
No. Well, that's what I was waiting. It's been moved and approved that Representative Keith Kempinich's chairman. Is there a. Now we got the vice chairman position. Is there a motion or a nomination for vice chair?
Well, as I'm in the nominating mood, I'll nominate Senator Klein for vice chairman of the Legacy and Budget Stabilization Board.
Second.
Is there a second? Okay, Senator Dotsenrod, second. Was moved by Representative Kreit, seconded by Senator Dotsenrod. Is there any other nominations? Is there any other nominations? Is there any other nominations? Is there a motion?
Mr. Chairman, I would nomination cease and we cast a unanimous ballot for Vice Chairman Klein for the Legacy Budget Stabilization Board.
Is there a second? Senator Dotsenrod, second. Okay, it's moved by Representative Kreit, seconded by Senator Dotsenrod. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Okay, that's approved. Okay, well, the hard stuff's over. Now we have Mr. Hunter in for the kind of what I think we're just kind of the status. April, you know, brought us up and we had a lot of conversations about. I think what we need to do is, this is the final meeting basically of the kind of the interim of this fund. Now we go into where the legislature can use the earnings or the goes into the general fund. I guess the legislature don't have a lot of say about where it goes. It just we're after this. So I think what we need is what numbers we have here for how this ended up and then kind of looking into the future. So, Mr. Hunter.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the board.
For the record, my name's Dave Hunter. I serve as the Executive Director and Chief Investment Officer for the Retirement Investment Office. To my right is Deputy CIO Darren Schultz. He's been here about 5.5 years. And to his right is Eric Chen, our Senior Investment Analyst. And he's been here close to 3 years, maybe 2.5, 3 years. I'm going to start off with the Budget Stabilization Fund, just to cover that per the requested agenda. On page 3, what you'll see is the total fund net returns for the 1, 3, and 5 years ended March 31st, 2017. For the 1 year ended, earned about 1.33%. For the 5 years ended, it earned a little bit over 1.7. Again, both of those returns are after fees and generally in excess of its benchmark return, generally in the 0.64 to 0.68% level over the last 1 to 5 year periods. We're doing that on a very risk-adjusted basis. This is a very low-risk, highly liquid, short-term investment fund because it's the Budget Stabilization Fund. You can see we're very close to our prescribed risk levels and generated about 0.61% of excess return over the last 5 years. On a dollar basis, over the last 5 years, the Budget Stabilization Fund generated about $37, $38 million of income. About $18 million of that was kind of from the policy benchmark. About $20 million was through the use of active management. So a nice report overall. The next slide kind of shows a roll forward of the Budget Stabilization Fund since the initial funding in fiscal 2006. Not going to go through the details. You can obviously read it all yourself. But, you know, in the end, there's about $572.485 million that was transferred in over the last decade plus. That principal distribution was transferred out earlier in this biennium, and we're at a point now to where as of April 30th, 2017, the investment fair market value is a little over $6.1 million. Again, these numbers are all as of April 30th. We don't have final numbers for May or June just yet, given that we're only on June 19th, that'd be pretty incredible if we did. So that's really all I had for the Budget Stabilization Fund. Just a couple quick points. During the past year, we actually transferred the Bank of North Dakota match loan CDs out of the Budget Stabilization Fund. They're now entirely in the legacy fund. So you see that kind of highlighted in red. And this really is just truly short-term cash. We have cash. We have about $1 million in 90-day T-bills or that equivalent and about $5 million in short-term fixed income. And that asset allocation will hold then for the foreseeable future. On page 8, I was going to recommend, if it so pleases the advisory board, that they accept us just making some minor wording changes to the investment policy statements in which we just formally acknowledge and clean up that the fact that we no longer have any Bank of North Dakota match loan CDs in the program. But that was it for my update on the Budget Stabilization Fund.
Do we need to, like on that there, do we need a formal document again on for this change?
It's pretty much a cleanup item, and I defer to legislative analysts.
That's what I was kind of just...
Yeah, well, Mr. Chairman, if you're in agreement with the change you're proposing, you could make a recommendation that change be made to the policy statement, and then they would proceed to make that adjustment.
Committee, does that sound like we want it? I think this would be the easy way and a clean way of doing.
Absolutely.
You know,
we're just
do.
Formally documenting that the Bank of North Dakota match loan CDs are no longer in the Budget Stabilization Fund. The wording now is kind of when we're in the transfer process, which we completed earlier this year.
Okay.
So a good cleanup item.
Okay.
So, Mr. Chairman, are you looking for a motion?
Well, I was wondering, I think we do need a motion on it. Yeah.
So, Mr. Chairman, I would move that we accept the changes on page 8, the underlying portion by the green arrow, and it's stated there.
Okay, second?
Second.
Okay, it's moved by Senator Klein, seconded by Representative Crite to take this language out is what we need to do, or just this is the clarifying language, or insert this language.
We will take this language out, and what we will document is that, just quite candidly, the Bank of North Dakota match loan CDs are no longer in the Budget Stabilization Fund.
Okay. We need a voice vote on that one. A roll call on this one. Okay. Clerk, take the roll.
Representatives Kempinick?
Yes.
Craig?
Yes.
Senators Klein?
Aye.
Dauphinroth?
Yes.
Citizen members, Mr. Rauschenberg?
Yes.
Ms. Sharp?
Yes.
Okay. We have that. Go ahead.
Very good. So I will now jump to the legacy fund. On page 11, just a refresher, obviously back in 2013, it was 100% short-term fixed income. We did an asset liability study with RV Coons. This board and the advisory board and the state investment board approved an asset allocation policy that was fully implemented in January 31, 2015. That asset allocation policy is in effect today. In broad terms, it's 50% equity. That's on the right half side. That bottom page, 35% fixed income and 15% diversified real assets, including a dedicated 5% allocation to real estate. So again, it's just always important to remember what our asset allocation is because it's the number one driver of our long-term investment returns. On page 12, I have the most recently available month-end results, which are as of April 30th, 2017 for the Legacy Fund. In the top line, you'll see Legacy Fund had a net return of 10.0%. For that would be for the 10 months ended April 30th, 2017. If we were to roll forward to more recent activity, it's probably in the neighborhood of up about 11% on a year-to-date basis, but that's all very preliminary. We're generating nice excess return. What does that mean? It means we're beating our policy benchmarks. The equity markets have been incredibly strong the past year. The second level of kind of blue and gray bars kind of show what our U.S. equity has returned. The U.S. equity generated a little over 15% during the past 10 months ended April 30th, 2017. That's a little bit below our benchmark, about 0.3%, but pretty close overall. Small caps generated over 22% the last 10 months. It's really, really strong. It's about an 8% allocation. Again, a little bit below its policy benchmark at 22.9. Where we've had the best kind of returns on an active management basis is in our international equity allocation. Our international equities generated a net return of 19.4%. That's in the very bottom right there, if you can look, and that beat the benchmark by a pretty sizable, almost 4% over the last 10 months. So all in all, very nice returns in the equity markets. If I flip to the next page, we'll deal with fixed income. Fixed income has been quite challenging. We've had a rise up in rates that occurred actually up through March 31 and April 30th. When you invest in fixed income and rates rise, fixed income investments go down. You can see the benchmark actually declined by 1.0% during the past year. We feel fortunate. The way we've positioned the portfolio is for a rising rate environment, so we were actually able to generate a positive return in fixed income of about 2.2%, which is great. We've been talking about a rising rate environment for a long period of time. That's the way we got the portfolio positioned. It served us well. Rather than losing 1% in our fixed income allocation, which is about 35% of the portfolio, we were able to generate a moderate return of about 2% over the last 10 months, which is great.
And you get people, you know, there's always armchair quarterbacks and stuff.
Of course.
You know, when you bring up, our risk environment, if we didn't have, would be fairly high. I mean, because you take that 50% of what we're in on the equity side, would substantially raise our risk environment, wouldn't it?
That's exactly correct. So we have a nice diversified portfolio. Over the long term, we expect this portfolio to generate a return between 6 and 6.4% long term. And that's because 50% of it is in equities, but 35% of it is in fixed income, right? So if there were to be a market correction in the future, generally fixed income does much better. In particular, the investment that we have in State Street U.S. government credit, that's a wonderful kind of long-term, conservative, risk-averse type of investment. Having said that, it's challenged when we have periods like this. You can see that the State Street actually lost 1.3% over the past 10 months. But no, we're not – listen, the more equity risk you have, the better you're going to do when markets are roaring as they have. Having said that, we're long-term patient investors. We want to get a reasonable rate of return. We've targeted 6 to 6.4%. We're well in excess of that over the past year. And on a kind of a benchmark aware basis, we're generating positive risk-adjusted returns. And just to briefly highlight that, so I'm going to jump to page 16. Since Chairman Kempinick raised this point. So if you look at risk on page 16, kind of in the brown box, second column from the right, you'll see what our risk levels are. Our benchmark risk levels is about 3.5%. That's pretty low over the last 5 years. Our actual net return risk levels is about 3.8%, so we're pretty close to that. If you were to look at the pension trust, you'd be more 5, 6%. So this is a much more diversified, risk-aware investment portfolio. Nothing like the budget stabilization fund, right? If we flip back to the budget stabilization fund, just for comparison, those risk levels were 0.7 and 0.5, so super low, super liquid. So we're seeking a reasonable rate of return of 6 to 6.4, and we're delivering on that with good caution.
Yep. Any questions, committee? Okay, go ahead.
Very good. So going back to page 13, if I could have you jump back to that one page again, just to wrap up. So diversified real assets, we have a 10% allocation. If there is one sector that really has underperformed this past year, it's diversified real assets. It's just our infrastructure investments have not been all that strong, nor have our global inflation-linked TIPS. But listen, it's kind of unrealistic to assume you're always going to be doing better on everything, right? So we're doing far better on our global equities and doing tremendous on our fixed income allocation. That's 85% of our overall exposure is equities and fixed income. The fact that we're underperforming a bit on diversified real assets is no major concern. Real estate, we had a very good year for at least last 10 months. We generated a net return of about 6.7%, surpassing its benchmark of about 5.7. So all in all, you put it all together, we earned a little over 10% for the 10 months ended April 30th, 2017. The next page is a roll forward on page 14 of the legacy fund from inception to date. The first column, column A, shows deposits into the legacy fund on a fiscal year basis. You see in fiscal year 2012, it was $395 million. 2013, $791 million. Fiscal year 2014, $907 million. Fiscal year 2015, up over $1 billion, $1,011,000,000. Fiscal year 2016, we had a little over $434 million. And through April 30th, 2017, I highlighted in red with an asterisk, we had about $329 million. We know what the May deposit was because we're in June. That was an additional $33 million. You sum it all up, total deposits into the legacy fund since inception, bless you, have been a little over $3.9 billion. That's as of May 31st. Stepping to the right, total net earnings. Since inception, and this is only through April 30th, we've generated about $660 million of income in this fund. The vast majority of this, about $395 million, highlighted in red, was done in this fiscal year. So from July 1, 2016 through April 30th, 2017, about $395 million. That's the total earnings number, not the North Dakota Century Code earnings as defined for budgeting purposes. So, but a very nice number overall. I'm going to jump over to column D. So total net position as of April 30 was about $4.53 billion. If you add in the May deposits, we're up to about $4.56 billion. That's as of May 31, 2017, but without it giving any credit for any income earned in May, which I know we've had income, but we just haven't finalized what the results are for May. So
it kind of highlights what happens when you say have a savings account, it starts to build, and once it starts hitting some critical mass, it really becomes large numbers and stuff on it. And that's one of the things that, when this fund started was the deposits, the oil, keeps coming in.
Right.
But at some point, there is going to be a transfer back, where the earnings are going to probably start overtaking the deposits and stuff on it, but that's a few years down the road.
That actually transpired this year. If you look at the fiscal year 2017 in red, you'll see that deposits through either April 30th or May 31 were about $329 million. We've actually earned a little more than that, about $395 million. So, again, it speaks to your point where you save, you have some nice years. We've had a very good year this year, and we're able to actually increase the size of the legacy fund more by investment earnings than by deposits. So, knock on wood, 10 more days until we're done with this fiscal year.
Go ahead,
Mr. Chairman and Mr. Hunter. When you were talking about the earnings, column B there,
yes,
and you referred to the $395 million in fiscal year 2017. You said something about that number, that earnings, is total earnings, and you made a distinction between that and the earnings as defined in the Century Code, I think is what you said.
Yes.
Could you explain that a little more to me, what the difference between those two numbers?
That's a great point. So there's a small footnote here. So North Dakota Century Code 2110-02 defines earnings as net income in accordance with generally accepted accounting principles, excluding any unrealized gains or losses. So what that means is that you can have changes in market values of assets that we're invested in. So like if we invested in somebody's house here and the value of that house from a market value standpoint went up, but we don't sell the house to realize that earnings, we don't include that in our North Dakota Century Code earnings. We only include that interest and dividend income and realize what we've actually sold on, because chances are you want to continue to hold on to some investments for a long period of time. So that distinction is further emphasized in column, when you compare column B versus column E. So column B, that's total net earnings from an accounting standpoint, including realized and unrealized gains and losses. Column E is as defined in North Dakota Century Code. You see, for this year, we had about $172 million in North Dakota Century Code earnings. That's through April 30th. But that's actually even less than half, or pretty close of the $395 million that we've earned in total. So,
go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And Dave, I know when we ended the session, you know, there was discussion that, of course, we were going to use $200 million of earnings. And if I remember correctly, as we were going through the numbers at the end of session, we figured it was about $153 million in earnings at that time. And to come up with the $200, we'd have to accumulate some earnings, you know, through the biennium to reach that figure. Is that correct?
That is correct. So just to, at that point in time, it's probably $153 million. I don't perfectly recall that number, but that's probably very close to it. Through April 30th, we're at $172 million, okay, right? So getting closer. That $200 million number estimate is really for the next biennium, so we haven't even got there yet. It's from July 1, 2017 through June 30, 2019, so none of this really has any impact on that other than the fact that our balance continues to grow. And if we assume that we have a $5 billion average balance in the legacy fund for the next 2 years, and we earned 2% on that $5 billion per year, that'd be $100 million a year times 2 years, or $200 million. So that's a back-of-the-envelope way to support the $200 million number that the legislative body approved this most recent legislative session.
Okay. Any other questions? Because that is a debate towards the end there, you know, and it's a moving target, you know. I mean, we've, you know, I mean, 2%, you know, for isn't going to be hard to do, you know, and the way the Century Code read, it's all earnings, you know. It doesn't matter if it's 200 or 300 or 400, you know, we're going to have to, the next legislative session is going to have to figure out how to deal with that one way or the other. I think the big thing was, though, is to hit $200 million was kind of the crux of the conversation. And we kind of got into that, you know, how to handle that second year in some of the testimony we had back in April of how that kind of gets. Because it's kind of like running here. We're going to be basically 2 months behind from
yes.
from the end of this period. And we'll get updated on that sometime, you know. I'm thinking we'll put either November, December, some time frame in there that we'll have another meeting.
But if I'm reading this, Mr. Chairman, since the session ended up until this point, we picked up about another $20 million in earnings.
And actually, that only picks up to 1 month because we're not rolling in May or June earnings. This was just rolling from probably March 31 to April 30. So we probably picked up $20 million in that 1 month.
Yeah.
So big picture, since inception, under the North Dakota Century Code definition of earnings, it's about $400 million, right? That's that total. So if the legislators have, for budget purposes, deemed $200 million, that's roughly half of what we've earned on an inception-to-date basis. So still saving a good portion of our earnings, even from this definitional perspective.
Any other questions, comments? Okay, continue.
Very good. Just briefly, this is our asset allocation as of March 31, 2017. We look at it on a monthly basis, but we're very close between our actual and targets. We're sometimes over a little bit in equities when equities are doing very well. That's what you see here. We're a little bit under in fixed income by about 1%. Again, that's because equities just did so well. We're not sitting there and trying to get it exactly to be 50% equity, 35% fixed income. We're trying to get close. And what this chart just shows is that we're very close to our targets, generally within 1% to 2%. Page 16, it just highlights kind of our returns on a 1, 3, and 5-year basis ended March 31st, 2017. So here for the 1 year ended March 31st, 2017, the legacy fund generated a net investment return of 10.1%. Again, beating its policy benchmark of about 8.7% by 1.4. If you equate that to a dollar basis, that's about $50 million of additional income from active management. So if we just step back and said we had about $4 billion in the legacy fund over the last year and we earned 10%, that's $400 million that we've earned in the legacy fund over the past year. $50 million of it about is due to active management. The other $350 million was due to the policy benchmark. Choosing 35% equity. Excuse me.
Do you get the cost breakdown on like the?
Yes.
I usually you do, and I mean you can hit that when you get to it and
sure.
stuff on it. I just was kind of curious because I was always been you know, and I'm I mean been doing a good job and stuff on it. It's just always you know that's always something to watch. Is that?
I appreciate those kind comments. The entire state investment board and Real Investment staff appreciate that. On page 25 is where we have our investment expenses. Now again, we're not through the fiscal year ended, so we don't have the fiscal year ended June 30, 2017 numbers. Expenses on an absolute basis are up over last year by about 15%, but that doesn't cause me any great concern because our assets are up over 20%, so our expenses are not rising as much as our actual assets are. So I'm conservatively estimating that we're going to be probably between 40 and 45 basis points or 0.4 to 0.45%. That is up from 0.36% last fiscal year, but Let's let the numbers fall where they may, and we'll come back. And I look forward to saying that the numbers will hopefully be no more than 0.45%. And that's pretty good. That's pretty consistent with what we've done with our overall. If you flip to page 24, so this is kind of overall state investment board assets. If you go back to fiscal year 2013, we were paying about 2/3 of 1% in fees, about 0.65%. We've been successful in reducing fees, and in large part due to the growth of the legacy fund. When we have more money to invest, we have better bargaining power, better leverage with our managers, so it allows us to demand better pricing. And it's come to fruition. We've gone from about 0.65 overall down to about 0.42% over the last four fiscal years. So ironically, we're kind of always spending between about $45 and $48 million a year on fees. But needless to say, the asset base has grown from, you know, less than $7 billion to we're probably pretty close to $12 billion right now in assets. So the fact that we're holding fees pretty close to that $45 million level while assets continue to grow is a nice story overall.
So this is kind of helping all the funds.
It does.
It
really does. That having the ability to pull all the funds together really helps our leverage and drives down costs. So it's a nice story. So that really addresses the fees. We've kind of talked about returns. Just one last thing. So for the 5 years ended on page 16, if I could trouble you to flip around one more time, on page 16 we have kind of five-year numbers. So we generated a net return of about 4.2% for the 5 years ended March 31st, 2017. I know that's a low number, but that's because we were invested in short-term fixed income for a pretty long period of time. But again, always beating our policy benchmark by about 0.9%. And that by beating that policy benchmark over the last years, we've generated about $100 million of additional income. Big chunk of that is fee reduction, right? So if we're paying 20 basis points less or 0.2% less a year on fees, that all translates into better returns. So.
Yeah, that's a lot of people don't understand how long it takes to move this stuff around. You know, I mean, and that's what we had, because I had one guy call me the other day, you know, and kind of bringing up a defensive position of, well, I think that's kind of what we're in on about half of this is
right.
Kind of a defensive position and stuff on it. Because it, I told him, I said, the first time we did that, when we went from fixed, it was a 18-month, just about 2 years it took to move this stuff around, you know, move.
It was an 18-month transition period that concluded in January 31st of 2015. So, yeah, we were very methodical. And it's very common when funds move large, you know, make a major change in their asset allocation to do it over a prolonged period of time. Sometimes as long as 3 years, sometimes as short as a year, but an 18-month time frame is kind of a pretty good time frame to work, and that's what transpired. But yeah, no, we're all in all, we have 16 investment managers that actually are listed on these pages 12 and 13. So people always ask, you know, is that too many managers? Is that not enough? It's a nice number of managers. If we have $5 billion invested, and we're not there, we're about $4.5 billion, $4.6 billion now. We got 16 managers. That's about $300 million on average. So that allows us to get good pricing, allows us to keep good diversification, and works out pretty well. So okay. a nice overall. None of our investment managers are on watch list, are on any type of watch list within the legacy fund, which is great. Everybody's doing pretty much what they should. It's not to say that everybody's beating their benchmark, but over the long term, they're doing what we expect. Not everybody's going to outperform every single day, month, quarter, year. But over the last 3 to 5 years, our managers have done a nice job of consistently beating the benchmark. So, last thing I was going to have, Mr. Chairman, was just again, I was just going to make it clear in the legacy fund investment policy statement that we do now have a fully dedicated allocation to the Bank of North Dakota match loan CDs. I really didn't have anything else in here besides that. We've talked about fees. One last thing, if it's interesting. So this page 27. Is the financial position of the State Investment Board overall. And it just goes to show you that as of April 30th, we had about total assets of about almost $12 billion as of April 30th. And during the past year, the State Investment Board clients earned over $1 billion in net investment income. That's kind of highlighted in the right in green. Net investment income exceeds $1 billion for the 10 months ended April 30th, 2017. Again, that's for all SIB clients, PERS, TFFR, WSI. And again, our asset base is close to $12 billion.
Dave,
yes.
On breaking out the, you know, like the legacy fund and stuff on that compared, you know, like on savings and how do you go about, do you just use a percentage of what each investment has in there and then break it out that way, or how do you?
That is correct.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman, members of the board, so everything's done on a pro rata basis. If someone has $100 million in it and somebody has another $50 million in it, $150 total, whatever those savings are is kind of how we.
And that's how the expenses are broke out too.
Everything's broken on a pro rata basis. Darren, is there anything you would clarify on that? No, that's it. Okay.
Because Darren probably sat through. You remember back when this first started, that was one of the big concerns with Randy, our former chairman, was mixing it up into you know, with other funds and stuff on it, was how to recognize, you know, that stuff kept separate. And, you know, it didn't seem that hard, but that was a big debate. I know we spent a couple meetings debating just even doing what we're doing here, but it, you know, when you look at the expense side of it, you know, that's what kind of gets you, is how if this would have been just separate from everybody or from all the funds, you know, and the state in itself is gaining on it, you know, I mean, you got to look at the bigger picture, but if you had done that, you know, that would have been some large numbers expense-wise too.
Sure.
And stuff on it.
So. No, and just for what it's worth, I mean, we also work with the land board. So we have common mandates or common managers. We will have a tiered schedule with the land board as well so that we're both benefiting. Yeah. Because the SIB client assets are larger, we're leading more of the charge. But having said that, there's times when the State Investment Board clients are benefiting from the land board having a large relationship and we're having a smaller one. So
yeah.
It all works for the benefit of our citizens.
Okay. Any questions, committee? Okay.
One last thing, if I could, I'd just like to invite the Legacy Fund Advisory Board members to our July 28th State Investment Board meeting, in which we're going to have some board education. There's three topics. One is kind of capital market theory, one is asset allocation, and one is the role of the fiduciary and investment policy statements. They're broken out into 1 hour segments. So if you wanted to attend one, you could, as opposed to all two or three. I realize everyone has too much to do and not enough time, but at least I wanted to extend the invitation if you so desire to attend.
And again, I got it on my calendar.
Very good.
Thinking that it's my birthday, but hey.
Oh, we'll bring in some cake.
I'm getting too old to count any birthdays anymore anyways. So, but on that change in the policy, though, we'll have to go through the same process we did with the Budget Stabilization Fund.
If we could, Mr. Chairman, that Mr. Members of the Board, just to formally acknowledge that we now have the Bank of North Dakota Match Loan CD program is entirely in the legacy fund, and that way we'll just clean it up. It's quite candid. It's good governance to just have these signed and dated every year. So it formally acknowledges that we reviewed it, and even if there's only a minor change, that we document it. So I appreciate the board's willingness to adopt the Bank of North Dakota being fully transferred into the legacy fund at this time. The Bank of North Dakota Match Loan CD program.
Okay. Is there a motion?
So moved, Mr. Chairman.
Okay.
Except the change as referred to on page 21 by the green arrow, the underlying comments.
And this would be to our policy for the legacy fund.
That is correct.
It is. So is there a second?
Second.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded. Any discussion? Clerk will take the roll.
Representative Kempinick?
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Senators Klein?
Aye.
Thompson-Rod?
Aye.
Mr. Rauschenberger?
Yes.
Ms. Sharp?
Yes.
Mr. Chairman, the motion carries.
Okay.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman, members of the board.
Thank you. Okay, and that's moving on to, I think we've got through most of this. Any comments? Anybody? Interested persons in the audience or anything? Okay. Well, I guess we'll go to the discussions and directions. I think we'll try to, is there any input or anything? I think what we'll try to do is have it sometime later November, first part of December is where we'll, unless something comes up, but I think when we'll try to have another meeting. It is. Does there sound reasonable? Okay. Well, I guess we can move to adjourn. So it's been moved and seconded to adjourn the Legacy and Budget Stabilization Advisory Fund Board. Yeah.